So, yes, so thank you, moms. Thank you for your offering today. And so, let's get started here now. Here we go.
Don't worry, Pastor. I got it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lydia. That's very sweet of you to do that. Okay. Get my things here. Oh, man, this thing again.
Pastor, I got this. I got this.
Okay, thank you. There we go, Skip. Thank you very much for getting this. I really appreciate it. All right, there we go. Perfect. Excellent. Thank you so much for your help. You know, wouldn't it be great if, you know, ever you ran into some problems like that, every now and then somebody's going to step up and say, I got this. Right, moms? How often would you, you know, you're struggling, you're raising your kids, you're trying to turn them into these best products ever, right? And you realize at times, well, I'm going crazy. And you're hoping maybe someone's going to step in and say, I got this. Yes? Yes. Yeah. Hello. There we go. Because we just want that to happen every now and then, whether you're raising your children, you're trying to maybe manage your own household and take care of your marriages. Maybe it's a problem at work and you just can't work your way through it. It'd be nice if someone could just magically step up and say, I got this. It's not a problem. Well, let's look at that today, if you would. All right. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 12.
Pastor.
Yes.
I got this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rod. Thank you for getting that. I really appreciate that. Here we are. Wow. Hey, Acts, there we go. Acts chapter 25. Verses 1 through 12. Let me pray. I hope you brought your Bibles today. Bring your Bibles with you. It's so important to know the context of any message that I give you. Of course, you're always welcome to use the Bibles in front of you. If you do not have a Bible, I'm going to throw this out there right now. If you do not have a Bible, listen, you're welcome to take one of those Bibles underneath your chairs today. Listen, it's important to have God's Word. And if you don't have a Bible in your hand or access to one, you are welcome to take one of those Bibles home with you. It's important to know His Word, and I want to encourage you to read His Word. And today, as we open up His words, let's ask for His counsel. Our Lord, our God, we want to trust You with these words. They're Your words. They're words in which You created the entire, everything that we see. Lord, everything that walks on the land, swims in the waters, Lord, you gave us life just by simply speaking out Your word. It's that life we ask for today on this Mother's Day. Our Lord, thank You so very much. Lord, downstairs today, our children are going to be taught some of Your word. Lord, we ask that You be with those teachers, that they would rightly divide Your word, and our children would receive those words and know who you are, our God. Thank you, dear Jesus. In Your wonderful and Your holy name that we pray, amen. Okay, so here we go. Let me just read the text a little bit here. Now, 3 days after Festus. Now, Festus is the new governor in town. He's a new governor of Judea. He had replaced Felix, who had held Paul there for 2 years up in Caesarea. Now, 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, so he's got a new job. He went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea, and the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews, that's the Sanhedrin, the religious ruling council, the Jewish council, laid out their case against Paul, and they urged Festus, asking a favor against Paul, that he summon him to Jerusalem. So you catching this? All right? The Jews, the Sanhedrin, want to have Paul come down to, or come up to Jerusalem, because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus,
replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So, he said, let the men of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. Now, I brought a map this morning to give you some idea what we're talking about here. You'll notice that Caesarea is in the north. And so when we're talking about this idea, John, of going down, literally what's happening, you're going from the high country in Jerusalem to the lower country along the coast in Caesarea. So it's not a direction kind of thing. The direction here is going downward. He's going from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Caesarea is where Paul is being held. Jerusalem is the place where all the power is takes place. That's where the Jews want Paul to come on down. We want him down here into Jerusalem. And if he comes down to Jerusalem, then we got our plans made. Our plans are we're going to kill him along the way. We're going to take care of this Paul and put that problem to an end. Now, if there's anything clear right now, it's that the situation that Paul was in, the situation just seems to be getting worse. Paul has been accused from everything from blasphemy to sedition, rebellion against Rome. He's in chains. He's been in this Caesarea, this prison in Caesarea for more than 2 years. It just seems like his situation is going from bad to worse, and it doesn't look like there's any light ahead. If it's anything is clear right here, it's this. Right here, this is clear. The enemy has Paul just where he wants him. Right? That's the place. If an enemy's going to attack, put him in prison, bind him, put chains on him, surround him with people who don't like what he has to say. Listen, that's the best place that the enemy can possibly put him. Paul has no way out of this one. Now, let me ask you, do you feel a little bit like that today? There's no way out of this situation. It's a place where you have exhausted all of your resources, and you're feeling attacked from this side, this angle, that person, maybe that problem at work. There's too much work to do. Listen, this is what I need. I'm hoping somebody's going to stand in and tell me, I got this, right? They're going to be there and going to step in and say, I'll take care of that for you. I got this. Perhaps you might be feeling a little bit like that today. You know, I remember growing up with my mom sitting at the kitchen table crying. Probably because my sister did something. Now, I say that somewhat jokingly, but it was tough to be a mom. And I know at times that she was hoping somebody was going to step in and say, I got this. Raising five kids, three boys, my two older brothers, and my two younger sisters, we were a bit of a handful. See, life can be like that. Life can be a handful. For Paul, the enemy is all around him. He's got the Sanhedrin. He's got Festus, who was just introduced into the story. He's got people who don't like him. And all these forces seem to be gathering around him, and he has nowhere to go. The enemy has Paul right where he wants him. After he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, again, we're talking about Festus, right, the governor of Judea, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, it's about a 60-mile trip, by the way, and the next day, he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him. Charges of blasphemy, charges of rebellion against Rome. Very, very, very serious charges against Paul. But they could not prove any of them. Paul argued in his own defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I committed any offense. But Festus, all right, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, if you remember, Felix did the same thing. We looked at those words last week. Felix is doing the same thing. I want to do them a favor. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me? Do you want to go up to Jerusalem? You want to go there? You get there, you'll be tried in court there as well. Do you know, have you had things happen to you? Stuff in life that you just did not fully expect, nor did you cause. It wasn't the problems that you find yourself in sometimes are not some of the, you just didn't do it. I didn't do anything to cause this to happen. Yes or no? I mean, many times we create our own problems. And I would say, yes, I am guilty. I am guilty of that. I sometimes can create my own problems. But sometimes in life, these problems seem to occur and there's nothing, no reason for them. Essentially, Paul is saying the same thing. Listen, I'm in the middle of this circumstance right now and there's nothing I have done to cause this. He's not saying that, hey, I'm not guilty. I'm not a sinner. He's not saying those things. But essentially saying, I'm blameless. I mean, if you look really carefully at God's words, Paul is a man who loves the Jews. And his words to the church in Rome was this: listen, I would gladly give my own life for my brother and sister Jews. I love and I respect what that temple means. I think there's also an element that he enjoys being a Roman citizen. All of those things, all of the charges against him seem to be focused on, Paul, you're against the temple, you're against your own people, you're against Rome, and you're causing rebellion. And Paul says, listen, I'm blameless in every one of those charges. I'm not guilty. It's almost like Job, right? You know the story of Job? Job has incredible wealth. He's a guy in the Old Testament. He has great wealth, and suddenly all of that wealth, his family, his, even his own health is wiped away. And he's standing there in sackcloth and dust. He's saying, I didn't do anything to cause this. His friends are all gathered around him. Man, you must have done something to have this happen. No, nothing. I've done nothing. Again, he's not saying he's not without sin. What he's saying is, I didn't do anything to cause this. Sometimes we can be doing all the right things, and it still seems to be going bad. You're reading your Bible. You're spending some time in prayer. Everything that you do seems to be doing all the right things, and yet life seems to be falling apart. Even by doing what is right, the enemy tightens his grip on Paul. Paul argued in his own defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any of these offenses. The governor, Festus, wants to do the Jews a favor. All he really wants is to keep his job. He was actually fairly well liked by the Jews. I think he was only in office a couple of years before he died, but he was always trying to manage these Jews, kind of keep some peace. The Jews liked him fairly well, but it just seemed like Paul, the deeper he got into this fabric of Roman society, the worse it got.
It's not fair. The Jews are corrupt. Rome is corrupt. It's all corrupt. It just is not fair. And I'm doing all the right things. Let me ask you, have you been there? Maybe you're there now. You're doing all the right things, and still it seems to be going bad. The enemy has his hands around you, right? Like a cord around your neck, and you just feel like, this is just tightening. And I don't know what to do. I really would like somebody to step in and say, I got this. Wouldn't you like that? Someone say, I got this. But Paul said, listen, I'm standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. To the Jews, I have done no wrong. As you yourselves know very well, if I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. This is one of those throw the mic down thing kind of thing. I appeal to Caesar. Yikes. Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, this is not the Sanhedrin, this is another group of leaders in the city. He confers with the council, to Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go. So what is Paul essentially saying to Festus? Very respectfully. You know, Paul, he loved being a Roman citizen. If you read his letters, he was very respectful to the government over him. Very respectfully, he responds, nope, I'm not going down there. I'm not going to Jerusalem. I am before Rome's court right now. By going down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, I'm actually going down in the court system. And I'm not going there. That's where I'm not going to go. What I want to do is I want to make my appeal to the highest court I possibly can make, and that is to Rome itself, to Caesar. Paul makes the appeal to the higher court. This is really kind of ironic in a weird, macabre kind of way. But his appeal to Caesar, follow this, the Caesar, the Roman emperor at that time, anybody have an idea who that is? Any historians? Now, if you made an appeal to Caesar, right, generally what's going to happen, if the case is a really, really good case, you might actually appear before Caesar. That wasn't always the case, but you would appear before some of the highest officials in the city of Rome. The Roman emperor at that time, Roman emperor 54 to I think 68 or so, something around that range, was Nero. Did you guess that?
I said as long as it wasn't Nero.
It's Nero. Now this is before he went all the got down and got crazy kind of thing. All right. Now he was always a rather decadent man. A ruler of Rome who just washed himself with all the terrible stuff of life, but it was before he went really got his crazy on, right? And so Paul is making an appeal to Rome to go to Caesar and present his case. If the case was a good one, if it was a legitimate one, if it was like the Supreme Court. If I'm going to bring my case before Caesar because I know my case is going to have impact on the Jews living in the Holy Land, and I know it's going to have an impact on the way Rome deals with them. And so this is the kind of case that is going to be sent on to Caesar. There wasn't really evidence of him being guilty. And the decision here is going to make a huge impact. And so, Paul makes the appeal. I want to go to the higher court, to Caesar. So you follow the sequence, okay? Going from bad to badder, from worse to worser, right? From a chains, from being, I mean, Paul was beaten up. He was chained up. People are accusing him of blasphemy. He's been in jail for 2 years already, and now he's going to wind up going to Nero. And Caesar. This is going from really bad to worse. Let me ask you this question. Life seems to be kind of heading in that direction for you. And nowhere do I see Paul thinking, man, I am going to work my way out of this problem. Nowhere do I see in his life an arrogance that I can handle all of these things in life. In fact, God will often bring us to a spot where we are crushed. I can't do it all. I can't fix it all. I can't get it all done. I don't know what my reputation is going to be like on this. And so we go about trying to fix it when in fact God puts us in a place where it can't be fixed. No matter what you do in your own life to make it better, it's not going to work. And I have to say, there are times in my own life when I have felt that myself, where I thought, man, I got to fix this somehow. I just got to work harder. I got to maybe pray harder. I got to do this. And then I don't really know how I'm gonna work my way out of it. Have you been there? You know, I there's one thing I know about Paul. Is that he understands that there is a higher court in session. One that's higher than the court in Jerusalem, higher than the court in Caesarea. The tribunal, all those great, leaders who are hanging out there. When he goes to Rome, he knows that there is a higher court in session. He wrote to the church in Ephesus these words, Ephesus chapter 6. He says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Do you know, as the people who have been called by God, we too understand there are sometimes forces at work beyond our understanding. That work in the spiritual realm that is intended to tear us down, to rip us apart, to bring us and put us into the place like on our knees. Paul understood that he stood before a greater court. In Acts chapter 23, 11, he was told by God's Holy Spirit. He was given these words: "Take courage, Paul. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." Paul is acutely aware that there is a higher court in session. The higher court, the Holy Spirit, has told Paul, you will go to Rome. So here's my counsel to you this morning. Make your appeal to the highest court. I don't know, again, all the stuff that you're going through. I see a little bit of every now and then on the prayer cards. I know a little bit of what you're wrestling and struggling with. It's not just mom's prayer cards. It's some of the guys, they're putting prayers in for wealth, for jobs. for difficulties that they might be facing, college decisions, homework, all of those things. You've got a life in front of you, and at times those things become very much of a challenge. How do I balance it all? Being a dad, owning a business, and you're working hard at it. And you're trying to do the best you possibly can, and it just seems to be falling apart, and I don't know how I'm going to take care of it. There's a burning hole inside of my heart. God, I ain't got this. Lord, you wiped away all my arrogance. Man, have you been there? I mean, there are moments where I think, I've got this. I got it. I don't got it. I don't got it. You might feel that the enemy has you right where he wants you. He might be saying, listen, I'm blameless and still he keeps on getting worse. I feel the grip of Satan's oppression. Let me remind you this morning, that God's got this. Amen? He's got it. Whatever it is. Now, I want to see it turn out a certain way. But God, I'm going to trust you in your way first. He put a message inside of Paul to take it to the nations. He's not going to Rome kicking and screaming along the way. He's not trying to figure some way out of it. He's heading to Rome knowing full well that God has put a message on his heart, the message of salvation for the nations. And I'm going to put you in the center of the power of the entire world. The most powerful man on the face of this planet, Caesar. And you are going to speak the gospel message to him. Listen. God has got this. Whatever it is, you think your life is falling apart, and it's painful, and we gather around you, and we want to pray for you and help you through the other side. It's a moment where you're wondering, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this, Lord, and there's no way I can figure my way out of it. But God's saying, listen, I got this. Do you believe that this morning? I hope you believe that this morning, because that's what a life of faith looks like. The life of faith is when you get to that moment and you, man, my knee is aching so bad. I don't know, how am I going to get through this, Lord? And it says, I got it. Your testimony for me. I don't know how I'm going to make it through my next session to raise my boys under the current circumstances. I don't know how to do that, Lord. Brian, I got it. I got it. Can you believe that this morning? With all the struggles and challenges that come with life, as difficult as it is, God says, I have got this. Do you belong to me? Are you my child? Yes, Lord, I am your child. I've received you in my heart. I've confessed you as the Lord and Savior of my life. And Lord, sometimes I pass through this life and it hurts so bad and I don't know exactly how to manage all of this. And he says, Kevin, I've got it. It belongs to me. Do you believe that he's got it? Amen. I hope you get it this morning. You know, when all the pieces start falling to the floor and your microphone drops off of your ear. God's got this. I would like you to consider, in your prayer requests, Doug mentioned it this morning, the 3x5 cars being here on a Wednesday. Listen, we make our appeal before the highest court ever. In the courts of heaven. We make our appeal before a God who knows all things that were, that are, and that will be. He's got all time in his hands. That's the court we make our appeal before. There's no other place I want to make my appeal. Nation's going to fall. Rome fell. Caesar, he went all crazy. God's got it, and he's got it for you. Lord, as we think about this, we think about the challenges that we face in life. Lord, and maybe I can just kind of speak for my own right now. Lord, it just seems like there's too much of life for me to handle. To be a husband, a dad, a pastor, a preacher, a teacher. Lord, I'm supposed to be a brother in Christ. Lord, I'm supposed to be all these things. I'm supposed to be a manager at times. And Lord, there's just too much. There's too much out there for me to even handle. And Lord, and that's not even counting my sin stuff, our God. Lord, do you have this? Can I put this life safely in your hands and trust you every step of the way? Lord, maybe it's a way that's going to lead me into a few more chains. Maybe it's a way that's going to lead me into a prison. Maybe it's a way that'll lead me to a spot where I am going to speak the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, to presidents and leaders of the world. But then again, maybe it's my next door neighbor. And so, our God, we ask you today for a faith and a trust that you've got this. Come alongside us, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask especially for those this morning where this message is especially meaningful. Boy, they're in a pickle. And they didn't put themselves there. It's a tough place for them to be. They did not choose this. It's not because of their own sin. It's just simply they're in a really, really tough spot right now, and they can't work their way out. So our God, we make our appeal to you on behalf of that person, that they would know your love and they would know your grace. They would know your sovereignty. They would know that you are a God who is in control of all things. God, we ask that you would give them a greater faith, a greater hope, a greater strength in you. Thank you, Father, for the gospel message. Thank you for the good news. Thank you, Lord, that you got it. In your name we pray. Amen.